Psalms chapter 56. Psalm chapter 56, we're going to read all 13 verses. So Psalm chapter 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up, he fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Father, we do thank you for the time we can have together. Father, we do ask that you would guide us. I pray that you would establish our thoughts. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, all distractions would be rebuked and removed, whether it's noises, whether it's our own thoughts. Father, anything that would hinder us from hearing you as you speak to our hearts this morning, Father, we ask that you be with the children and junior church, Lord. Just continue to minister to their hearts, helping them to understand the Bible lessons. So we pray the word of God would take root in their hearts or bring forth much fruit in their lives. Father, we ask that you would please bless our time, drawing us ever so closer to you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. David writes this psalm on occasion of fleeing to the land of Philistia, fleeing to the land of the Philistines. Saul is hunting for him. He feels as though there is but one step between him and death, and he allows fear to cause him to make a decision that is contrary to God's will. Now, the Lord will protect David. The Lord will bring him back into the promised land, and God will set him upon that throne that he was ordained to sit upon. But this morning I want to talk to us about choosing trust over fear. Choosing trust over fear, not allowing anything else to be the decision maker in our life other than trusting the Lord. And David says at the end of verse 13, he says that I may walk before God in the light of the living. He wants to remain a testimony to the Lord and a testimony to God's will, God's power in his life, and that should be our goal as well, to always be lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, letting God have his way with us, allowing God to work things out, allowing our hearts to fully trust him, always choosing that it's better to trust the Lord than not to trust the Lord. Now, some background to what's going on in David's life, and this is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. In 1 Samuel chapter 27, the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. So David spent some time in the wrong place because of fear. Fear can cause us to make wrong decisions that we think appears to be right decisions, but we're allowing fear to drive those decisions. It may not be that you're shaking in your boots and you're afraid of what's going to happen, It may be, it's just be fear of, you know what, making the wrong decision. Therefore, you make a decision based on what you think is right. Again, a fear of just maybe somebody doing you wrong, a fear of making the wrong decision. But we want trust in God to be the motivation that leads us into making right decisions. Because remember, the Bible has told us God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So some things I want us to realize this morning going through these verses. In verses 1 through 3, it just reveals just the reality of fear. Fear is a reality, but again, we're not to be driven by fear. We're not to allow fear to grip upon us. Then he says in verse 1 through 3, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High." What time I am afraid. Just stopping at that phrase in verse 3, what time I am afraid. But David talks about those that are against him. All right? We have an enemy that's against us, an enemy who wants us to be filled of fear. He wants us to be full of fear. He doesn't want us to trust the Lord. And as David is hunted by King Saul, it is fear that is following David, wanting David to be afraid, wanting David to make a decision against God's will. Yet God showed him time and time again that God was with him. God was protecting him. When Saul would come into the very cave that David was hiding in, and yet Saul didn't know he was there. And David cut off a piece of his garment. And when Saul left out of the cave, David came to the entrance of the cave and held up the garment. But David said his own heart smitten him because he had done that. But there were many times where Saul could have had his way with David, but God protected him. You know what? It's usually we don't remember what God has already done when we're in the midst of a trial or we're facing some decision. We're focused on what we're facing instead of remembering what God has already done. But God wants us, again, to always rely upon him, to always look to him. But the reality of fear is that fear is always there wanting to grip you. The devil wants to grip with fear. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." He wants to devour your life. The Lord warned Peter that the devil desired to sift him like wheat and told him in the garden, "Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." We want to always be relying upon the Lord. We don't want to be driven by fear. We want to be led by our faith and trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We also see in these verses, not just the enemy's presence, but just even the plot of the enemy, how the enemy wants to destroy. And David mentions it. He says, "For man would swallow me up, devour me. He fighting daily oppresseth me." You ever had days where it just seemed like the devil was just constantly just after you, just constantly trying to ruin your day, trying to get you to be fearful, trying to get you to just act away from or act, you know, opposite of how the Lord warned you? It just seemed like the devil was just constantly resisting everything you tried to do. Again, David, experiencing this, knowing that man would swallow him up if they had the chance, fighting daily, oppressing him. He says, "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up if they could." And again, one of the devil's tactics that we have to be reminded of is planting thoughts in our minds to cause us to think we're about to be swallowed up. David thought there was but one step between him and death. He wasn't thinking about the protection God had already given him. That, you know what? Yeah, there is one step between death and you and death and me. There's always one step because anything could happen in a day. But God had already protected David. God had already caused a deep sleep to fall upon the camp of Saul. And David and one of his men went in the midst of the camp where Saul was and took his spear, took his water pitcher, went out of the camp without anyone waking up. And yet, in this moment in his life, all he can think of is, I'm going to die if I stay here. I just want to remind us that sometimes the safest place for you and me is in the middle of trouble. If it's God's will for us to be surrounded by trouble, that's where God wants you to be. Now you may be thinking, well, that kind of sounds weird. Where were the disciples when they cried out, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Where were they at? In the middle of a storm. Their life was in danger. And they knew their life was in danger. And there's Christ right there in the boat with them. And they thought they were going to perish. How are you going to perish with Christ with you? I'm saying sometimes in the midst of a storm is the perfect will of God, and he protects you. But again, we have an adversary that wants to, as the disciples were gripped with fear, because they tried all they could to bail the water out, and it was to no avail. And they thought they were going to die. They thought Jesus did not care, and that's what the devil wants. He wants you to think that God doesn't care in the midst of the storm, in the moment of a decision that, you know what, you don't know what to do. You're at the crossroads. There's a fork in the road. I don't know if I should go left or right. It seems like left, but maybe God wants me to go right, and we're not relying upon the Lord, and we allow fear in some way to grip us and to dictate the next step instead of fully trusting the Lord. I want you to look at the second half of verse 3. This is, I know I've mentioned it before, but Psalm 56:3 is a verse that my wife taught our sons when they were little, because we lived in a, our first house was an older house that someone had tried renovating, and there was an upstairs, and they just hated going upstairs. They just hated going up those steps when it was bedtime, and and my wife taught them how to sing this verse, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And there came a day when they stopped singing it as they went up the stairs, because they had full confidence. They just would run up the stairs, go to bed. Because that verse taught them that God was with them and watching over them, and you don't have to be afraid of the unknown. You don't have to be afraid of the dark. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. You don't have to be afraid of your enemies. You don't have to be afraid of making a mistake. You don't have to be afraid of people not liking you or loving you, because you have Jesus Christ on your side. But there are times where our trust does need to be renewed. That's what David says. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. It speaks of our trust being renewed. Somebody once said that when it comes to trusting God, that means believing in his reliability, his word, his ability, and his strength. The Bible says that God cannot lie, that he always keeps his promises, that he loves you and has good in store for you. Trusting in him means believing what he says about himself, about the world, and about you is true. And that trust being renewing that trust, okay, I am fully going to trust the Lord, is voluntary. It's voluntary. God doesn't force us to trust him. It's completely voluntary if I'm going to fear or if I'm going to trust the Lord. In Psalm 118, verse 6, the Bible says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? That first part, the Lord is on my side. Do you fully believe that? And honestly, right now, sitting in church, there's probably not a single person that would say, no, I don't believe that. Because it's easy to agree with what the Bible says when you're sitting in church, but when you are out and about, living your life, going through your routine, going through the week, and then something arises and it grabs our attention because it's something we have to deal with, We start thinking about what we have to deal with, like the disciples in the boat, forgetting that Jesus is there, forgetting that Jesus just fed 5,000 men with a couple of fish and some loaves of bread, right? Because our attention is on what we're facing. That's why he's given us of his Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit inside of us is saying, hey, 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 look up. Get your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith. Don't forget to trust him. Don't forget to call out to him. Don't forget to cast your cares upon him. And it's voluntary. We can or we don't have to. But the Lord is always there. The Bible says in Psalm 27, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. In Psalm 28, the Bible says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. In the book of Hebrews, it says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. You know what? God wants us to boldly be able to say all the time, the Lord is my helper. And not just say it, but believe it. Rely upon the fact that God is my helper. Cast our cares upon him. Lord, would you guide me through this situation, because I know the outcome will be a lot better if I just follow you through it. That's why David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Letting God be the one that guides us. Not getting ahead of God and say, okay, God, follow me. And when I get in trouble, help me. Otherwise, just stay behind me and just let me do what I want to do. That's how a lot of Christians live. Living their life, and then when they get in trouble, oh, God, help me. Okay, thanks. And then they keep on living life contrary. But the Lord wants us to be what we are, and that is sheep. Sheep who need protection, provision, and guidance. And he's the only one that can satisfy our every need. But we have to voluntarily renew our trust. Voluntarily trusting him. Reject the fear. Reject the temptation to make your own decisions without following Christ, without seeking the Lord. But also praising the Lord. Because David says, well, time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And he goes on again at the end of verse 13, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. He wants to be the testimony that brings glory to God. And our glory, or our praise, brings glory to the Lord. In verse 10 of Psalm 56, it says, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. And what is his word? It's his promises. That he'd never leave you nor forsake you. His promises. Call upon me. I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. His promise that there are more with us than with the enemy. Promise that when we look unto the hills, from whence cometh our help cometh from the Lord, that we have the confidence that I can fully trust the Lord, though I may not understand, yet I know the Lord is on my side and nothing will ever change that. What could possibly change God from being on your side when the Bible says that nothing will separate us from his love? Because his love was manifested in Jesus Christ, and you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Choosing to trust over fear or over doubt, over our own ways. Again, Psalm 33, verse 4, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Psalm 57, my heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Is your heart truly fixed upon the Lord? And fixed means that every day you seek him for his will. Every day you're trusting him. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Because just because you're in church doesn't mean you're saved. And there are people trusting in just church attendance. There are people trusting in their lineage. Well, my father was a pastor, my grandfather. I mean, I've heard these excuses. And I'm not saying, you know if you are or not. I'm just saying if we are saved, then we should be fully trusting the Lord, because we know time is short. We know the Lord is returning, and we want to be found faithfully doing what he has revealed to to us to do. Because unfortunately, when we stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, we will have no excuses. We give excuses now to people in our lives why we do or don't do something. But there is coming a day when we will stand before him and there will be no excuses. In fact, we will have nothing to say other than praising his name. And that is voluntary, but we're going to spend eternity praising his name. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. You know what happens, though, when we allow our trust to be renewed? We'll give glory to God. We'll trust him. We'll praise him. But sometimes it's conviction that causes us to trust him. Conviction is good. Some people don't like conviction. Some people don't like, as sometimes we say, their toes to be stepped on or, things to be pointed out in their life. And the Holy Spirit does that because of God's love. I can and you can say, well, I trust the Lord. And the Holy Spirit may bring to our mind, yeah, but you didn't trust him this morning. Conviction is good because you know what conviction is? Conviction is God speaking to you and God speaking to me. When was the last time you heard God's voice loud and clear? Not loud and clear like my voice, but loud and clear in your spirit that you heard God speaking to your voice or speaking to your heart. It is conviction. Conviction is good. If you ever stop being convicted, if you ever stop hearing God's voice, be concerned about that and ask the Lord, Lord, please open up my heart, open up my mind, help me to hear your voice. Where if I am, because remember, God says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And we need to be concerned about that. We need to be concerned. Am I hearing God's voice? Because the devil can appear as an angel of light and his ministers can appear as ministers of light. You and I can be led astray by something that appears to be right, but it's completely wrong. Because when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the devil used scripture against Jesus and said, yay, it's written. God will give his angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. So go ahead, cast yourself off this temple. The devil will try to convince us, even with scripture, to do something that's contrary to God's will in your life. And we're the one that suffers. We're the one that unknowingly are walking away from the Lord, thinking that we are doing God's will. And when God convicts our heart otherwise, we need to be quick to voluntarily trust what the Lord is telling us and say, Lord, yes, I believe as the Father said to Jesus, but help my unbelief. You're absolutely right, Lord. I've allowed myself to walk contrary to your will. Because again, the enemy wants to sift you like wheat, wants to devour you, wants to destroy your testimony, my testimony, wants to sever the relationship between us and the Father. Again, he cannot take away your salvation. But man, can he mess up relationships? He can mess up our relationship with the Lord by us making the wrong choices and the wrong decisions. David made the wrong decision to flee into the land of the Philistines. Now, God was merciful. God protected him. God kept him and his men from fighting in the battle against the Israelites. God had ordained him to be the next king. God's will was going to come to pass. But obviously, it was a black mark on David, on David's life, because guess what? When they come back to the city of Ziklag, after being sent away from that battle between the Philistines and the Israelites, their wives and children were gone. The city was burned. Now, they recovered all, but there were just unnecessary hardships in David's life because of wrong decisions. And there are unnecessary hardships in our lives because of wrong decisions of not trusting God, not following the Lord, not casting our care upon Him, not living our life according to God's will that is revealed in His Word to us. But conviction also, it will comfort us. It will comfort us at different times, again, knowing that, okay, the Lord is still speaking to me. If the Lord's still speaking to me, then I have an opportunity to get things right. I have an opportunity to repent, as the church of Laodicea had an opportunity to repent when the Lord Jesus sent the letter to them, condemning them of being the lukewarm churches we're studying in Sunday school. And he told them, as he tells us, he stands at the door knocking. He's always, though you, if you're saved, you have Christ in you, yet you probably know there's been times where you walked contrary, you weren't walking with the Lord, and the Lord's kind of knocking, hey, you know, come back, open up your heart back to me, let's get back in fellowship, let's abide together, as it says, you know, I abiding in you and you in me. Again, conviction is good, but it's voluntarily us responding to God's leading and God's drawing in our life. Look at verses 9 through 11. Because you know what? When we do have full faith and trust, there's a rest. There's an inner spiritual rest to our soul. Like I said earlier, that sometimes there's more trouble than that's what's necessary in our life because we're not trusting the Lord as we should. In verse 9 says, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Just mentally underline that. Or if you're someone who's used to highlighting in your Bible, highlight it. For God is for me. You and I can boldly proclaim God is for me. Why? Because I'm His child. Not everybody's a child of God. There are many people that say, well, everyone's a child of God. No, they're not. You're only a child of God if you have the Spirit of God in you. If you've been born again, the Holy Spirit has sealed you. But you and I can boldly proclaim, for God is for me. In God, I will praise His word. In the Lord, will I praise His word. Why? Because His word is true. His word never fails. His word are the promises that we build our life upon. In God have I put my trust, David says. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Many times in the Psalms, David will start to complain about something. He'll talk about what he's facing, but it always turns. At some point, he turns as he's writing it. You know what? I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to cast my cares upon Him. Have you ever gone to God in prayer complaining, talking about what's going on, and then kind of halfway through your prayer, however long it may be, you start, Lord, actually, you know what? You've been pretty good. And you start praising God, and Lord, forgive me for complaining because you've never failed me. God's okay with us casting our cares on Him and even complaining, but eventually it turns around and we start praising Him because the Holy Spirit in us, as we're pouring our heart out to the Lord, telling the Lord what's bothering us, telling us as David is talking about what he's facing and how he feels, yet the Spirit of God is reminding him, God's on your side. God will succeed in what God is going to do in your life. There's nothing to fear. Just keep trusting. Keep trusting. Keep following. Do not let fear grip you. Do not let fear be what guides you or drives you. Let it be your trust and faith in the Lord. In God have I put my trust. Again, it's voluntary. Putting your trust in the Lord is not something automatic. Every day when you wake up, you have to put your trust in the Lord that He's going to give you safety as you travel around town. He's going to provide for whatever you may need. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. There's not a single person, there's not a single government, there's not a single entity, kingdom, whatever, that we should be afraid of. Some of us have alarm systems on our homes because we want to keep, you know, bad people out. But there's been so many times where we've forgotten to lock the door before we had an alarm. Oh, I know I locked the door. Get up to leave to go to work and the door is like not locked at all. Someone could just easily walked in. And what do? Thank you, Lord, that you watched over us. Now, we do things for safety. We have an alarm on our house, not because we're afraid, not because we're like, oh, I hope no one comes in and, oh, and all. It's just for precaution. But again, I'm not trusting in that alarm. Trusting in the one who has all eyes that can protect us, that hedge of protection. Because remember the devil said of Job, you have a hedge of protection around him. The devil knew there was a hedge of protection around Job, and the devil couldn't do anything to Job unless God allowed it. And God said, okay, you can take all he has, you just can't touch him. Do you realize the devil didn't even disobey God? Even though the devil is wicked, evil, on his way to hell, and wants to take as many people with him, he doesn't rebel against the word of God. God says you can do this, but you can't do that. He doesn't do it. He does what he's allowed. But he's still there to try to get us to think contrary to the truth of God's word. I want you to understand this morning, just be reminded of, is keep trusting the Lord. Keep choosing to trust the Lord. Keep choosing to live your life in alignment with God's word. Keep trusting to cast your cares upon the Lord. Keep trusting that God will fulfill his plan and will in your life. And we need to continue following him. Because again, there are, I'm sure, as with me, as with you, there's been times in your life where you've made decisions that made it just a lot harder because it wasn't the right decision. And there's been times in your life where you've made the right decision and everything worked out and, right? It was like, wow. All right, well, you and I can have confidence. This I know, for God is for me. In Psalm 118, verse 6, the Bible says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me, because God is always our salvation. Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The Lord truly is on our side. We have confidence in our salvation. It cannot be taken away. We need to always have confidence and trust in the Lord that he's always there for us. He's always watching over us. He's always protecting us. He's always there to help. But don't wait until you need help to go to the Lord. Be walking with the Lord daily. Be spending time with the Lord daily. Allow God to control your life. And yes, I said control. Lots of people allow alcohol to control their life, or drugs, or pornography, or something else. Let the Holy Spirit of God control your life. Let the Holy Spirit of God control your heart, control your mind. And it is by saturating your heart and mind with the Word of God, yielding yourself, whatever your will is, Lord, help me to fulfill it. Help me to walk in the ways of the Holy Spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Have the confidence in the Lord. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know he's doing a work in you. He's transforming you and me into the image of Christ. so that we have the mind of Christ, the compassion of Christ, the heart of Christ, and the desire of Christ to fulfill the Father's will. Not my will, but thy will be done, is what the Lord says, and what the spirit and the attitude that the Lord wants us to have as well. In Ephesians 4, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Again, it's God's desire, it's God's purpose from the beginning that we as in all believers, be conformed into the image of Christ, our minds being renewed, not being conformed to this world, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Again, having confidence in our trust towards the Lord, so much confidence that we truly let him have his way with us, and we continue in that trust. We continue in that trust, as it says in verse 11 of Psalm 56, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Choosing trust over fear. Maybe it's not fear that you struggle with. Maybe it's just trusting God's will versus your will. Trusting what God says versus what man says. The fear of somehow missing out on life. Why did the prodigal son want his inheritance and to leave the family farm, as recorded in Scripture? He wanted to go live his life. He thought he was going to miss out on life. He thought he was going to miss out on what the world had to offer. And what did the world offer him? Nothing. He had some friends for some time because, you know, he had money and he was, as the Bible says, riotously living. But then when the money was gone, the friends were gone. And then a great famine came upon the land and no one cared so much about it. His friends that he paid for, you know, to have fun, they didn't care about him. Because when it comes down to it, everybody cares about themselves. Even the pig farmer that allowed him to take care of his pigs didn't give him anything to eat. That's why he's desiring the husk. He's thinking about eating the pig slop. And if you've ever been around pig slop, I never had a desire at my aunt's farm to even think about. In fact, I couldn't stand having to carry the bucket up to the pig pen. It was like, quick, pour it in and just get as far back as I can. It just stunk, just all the rotten food and stuff. I'm just saying that, you know what? He got what he wanted, and it wasn't what he wanted at the end. You and I know that Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that we have. You and I already know that we are challenged on a daily basis to fully trust the Lord and to fully follow him. If the disciples who physically saw the miracles Jesus did, cleansing the lepers, giving sight to the blind, raising the lame, even raising some from the dead, and they still struggled with trusting him after seeing everything they saw, the Lord understands, but he wants us to learn how to fully trust and to even admit, Lord, I need some help. Lord, I'm struggling in this area. Do you realize that the only way that someone is fully going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust is if they yield to the drawing of the Holy Spirit in their life? And that's the only way that we will fully trust is we, again, we've been given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always trying to encourage us in the Lord, always trying to encourage us in living our life for the Lord and being faithful to the Lord and fully trusting Him. And until the day you take your last breath, the Holy Spirit will continue to encourage us to do just that. I'm glad we have a Heavenly Father who knows our frame is but dust. He knows our struggles, but He still comes to us and says, trust me. Cast your care upon me. Reject the world. Reject the things of the world and let me have full control of your life. Let me be fully the Lord of your life. Fully trusting.